فبجره فيها طويلا. We ask Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala to make this majlis a majlis of Noor, a majlis of Ma'rifah, a majlis which remains an asset for us in our barzakh, in our graves, and on the day of judgment, inshaAllah. In a hadith from our eighth Imam, Ridha alayhi salatu wa salam, Imam says, Kulluna sufunun najat. Sufun in Arabic means the plural of safina, ark, ship. Imam says, all of us, that is, all the ma'sumeen, all the imams, they are the arks of salvation, ships of salvation. Says, but safinatul Hussein awsa. Says, but the ship of Hussein, it's fast. وَفِي لُجِّ الْبَحْرِ أَسْرَى. Says, it is vast, and in all those deep oceans, it will take you to your destination fast. So there is no ark, there is no ship, there is no salvation like Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. A majlis held for Hussein is great. No matter how much wrong we may have, it can be cleansed in this majlis. It can be removed in this majlis. One of the angels serving in the throne and arsh of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is Futrus. You've heard about him. Was punished. Was ousted from the arsh of Allah, the throne of Allah. He sees that Jibreel with swarms of angels is descending towards the earth. He says, what is happening? Why are you coming? Where are you going? And with all these swarms of angels with you, says that the Prophet has been blessed with a grandson, Hussein, and we are heading off to congratulate the Prophet. Says, do you allow me to come? Can I join you? Says, come on. Now this angel who had lost his wings, who was punished for whatever reason, says he also joins Jibreel, comes there by the cradle of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, wipes and touches his wings, and he gains shifa. Teachings that we have from Ma'sumeen, sayings that we have from the Prophet, says that وَالشِّفَى فِي تُرْبَتِهِ, that is, consuming earth, dust, clay is haram. Exception is the dust of the grave of Hussein. Taste it, you will get shifa. You want your du'as accepted under that dome of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, du'as are accepted. A person, he comes to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam in Medina. Imam says that, do you visit my grandfather Hussein? He says that, Ibn Rasulullah, I live here in Medina. Karbala is far away from here, about 2,000 miles. I can't travel there that often. Imam says, you do not need to travel. Now those of you who have performed Hajj, you know how difficult it is. At least 2 weeks or 3 weeks you need. And then all those rituals that have to be observed there. And then when you return, at least 3 weeks you are sick. So it's 6 weeks gone, one Hajj is performed. Or those of you who have done Umrah, it takes at least 7 hours of your time. And with all those painstaking A'mal, 7 A'mal to be done in one Umrah. Here Imam says that, you intend the ziyarat of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and in this simple formula, that is, look to your right, look to your left, say, As-salamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah, As-salamu alayka wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You will be rewarded the reward of one accepted complete Hajj and one Umrah, just for that one sentence. So that is, here we see that Imam says, recite that as much as you can while coming to this majlis, while leaving from this majlis. Have a tasbih in your hand, say that 100 times, you've got the reward of 100 hajj, 100 umrahs. Just so simple. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. As-salamu alayka wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. One sentence. So all this is that reflection of mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When Allah is that compassionate, that merciful, Aba Abdullah and Hussein Ma'sumin, they say that his ship is fast, is vast, takes everyone on board. Now when we talk about this ship, it doesn't mean that we just look at that ship and say how beautiful it is. That way no one will find salvation. It's the same like Prophet Nuh's ship. Those who got him, those who embarked were saved. Here too, all those who get on board will be saved. We talked about being optimistic with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In one of these du'as that we have, it's the first du'a from the Munajat Khamsata Ashar, the 15 whispered prayers of our fourth Imam, Sajjad alayhi salatu wa salam. Here, it's known as the Munajat of Tawwabin. Imam says, we talked about how we have to be optimistic in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And an example was, loads of examples were mentioned. One of them was this Zikr Yunusiyya, which is La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. That is the Zikr of Prophet Yunus in the belly of that fish. He said that there is no one but you who is the praiseworthy, and if there is any wrong, it's all mine. And Allah in Quran says that if it was not for that recital and that remembrance of Prophet Yunus in the belly of the fish as such, I would have retained him in that fish's belly until the day of judgment. He was relieved because he was optimistic with me. He was pessimistic with himself. Says all the wrong was mine, all the good is you. Here in this dua, in this munajat, Imam teaches the same thing. Says, Ilahi, albasatni al-khataya thawba madhallati, that I am drowned in this wretchedness of mine, clothed in the garments of my wretchedness. وَجَلَّلَنِ التَّبَاعُدُ مِنْكَ لِبَاسَ مَسْكَنَتِي. And then says, وَأَمَاتَ قَلْبِي عَظِيمُ جِنَايَتِي. My heart is dead. That is the worst of the crimes that a person can do. Now says, فَأَحْيِهِ بِتَوْبَةٍ مِنْكَ. That is, God, you revive this heart of mine. You give life to this heart of mine. So this is being optimistic with Allah, presenting ourselves as someone who has done all that wrong. So here Imam says that although my hands are empty, but my heart is filled with tawakkul, with reliance in you, that I rely on you. Although my hands shake as to what I have done, worry shakes and makes my legs tremble, but my heart is hopeful in you. So that is being optimistic in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So being optimistic with God is one of the qualities that a mu'min has to possess. We have to have that. Now if a problem does come across, now every one of us is drowned in problems from left and right nowadays. All we see is just problems that pour down. So what do we do? The stronger our fort is, or the stronger our bond is with Allah, the easier we will find a way out. And an outlet is Hussein. The best of the outlets is Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Hadith says that when you are drowned in these problems and you can find no way out and you feel like crying, cry doesn't matter. But switch your crying to Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. You will be rewarded for that, and also at the same time you will find an outlet. So being pessimistic with God is hated in Quran, is hated in accordance to the teachings of Ma'asumeen and being optimistic is praised. Looking into the du'as furthermore, on Thursdays we are said to recite this du'a 10 times, which says, Ya da'im al-fadl al-bariyya. So all this is hope in Allah. Da'im al-fadl al-bariyya is that, oh, whose grace is eternal, is permanent, not a temporary grace. His grace has been from ever and it will be forever. Da'im al-fadl al-bariyya. Ya basit al-yadayn bil-atiyya. And when he wants to give, his hands are open, not closed. Ya basit al-yadayn bil-atiyya. When he wants to bestow, hands are open. Ya sahib al-mawahib al-saniyya. Then says, Salla ala Muhammadin wa alihi khayr al-wara sajiyya. Du'as like this, and this du'a on Thursday, it removes that pessimism from us. So we have to enhance and activate being optimistic in Allah, and that is by all these simple tips that have been mentioned by Ma'asumeen, that constantly we have to revive ourselves, teach ourselves. Now being pessimistic, saying that God will not forgive me, that is what the kuffar, the munafiqeen do. We have to be optimistic. Although wrong we have done, no matter how many sins we have done, the doors of Tawbah are open. Doors of grace are open. He forgives, He will forgive. When He has named Himself, when He has tagged Himself as Rahman, merciful, compassionate, means He will forgive. In one of these ahadith Qudsiyah that we have, we find Allah addressing Prophet Musa, says that, Musa, you come to me, you ask for me for whatever you want and I will give you. Says, if Qarun, who has stood against me, if he calls upon me in the same way as you call upon me, I will give him exactly what he wants. All the wrong that he has done will be forgiven. Whosoever it is, how much wrong he may have done, he says that, I will forgive. So that is being optimistic in Allah, that we have to have that positive thoughts, positive thinking when it comes to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In Nahjul Balagha, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam, Imam says that with three groups of people you don't associate. Don't be friends with them. Don't be in contact with them. Says, who are they? Why do you need to be away from them? Says, La tudkhilanna fi mashwaratika bakhilan. That do not seek an advice from someone who is bakhil, who is a niggard, who is a miser. And then says, someone who is a tight-fisted person. Imam says, be away from him, never seek an advice from him. Why? Because he will invite you to poverty. He will say, scare you of poverty. Scaring someone of poverty means pessimism with Allah. And then he says that he won't let you give. If you have funds and you can help, or you have knowledge, you want to give, that bakhil will advise you as such that you will be tight-fisted. You will not let go what you have. And then says, don't get advice from someone who is scary and young. Why? They will fright you. Nor a person who is greedy, don't get an advice from him. Because someone who is greedy, he will always make you think of increasing and multiplying what you have, and that way you will never be able to give. So these three groups of people, Imam says that don't get an advice from them. Why? They will end up in you being pessimistic with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, shatta yajma'uha su'u dhann billah. That these three groups of people, they will just increase pessimism and your su'u dhann in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So greed ousted Adam from the heaven, and the roots of all these three qualities is being pessimistic with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now if you look into du'a Jawshan Kabir, which is a word of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed to Rasulullah via Jibreel alayhi salam. And here in this glorious dua we have 1001 names of Allah, 100 segments, each segment having 10 names. Out of these 1000 names that we have, or 100 segments that we have, all of these names talk about the compassion, grace, mercy of Allah. All of them. Maybe one or two segments talk about the wrath, the punishment, the chastisement. But that too is just for few. So that shows that how optimistic we have to be in Allah, how kind He is, how gracious He is, and how He bestows upon an individual. Now one of the names that we find for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is Hannan. Hannan means someone who gives, who is kind. Now what type of a kindness? Mannan, someone who bestows a lot. Now for example, if a child runs away from his house, now when a father or the parent, they come seeking the child and being kind to him and calling him back, that is Hannan. Now when we do wrong and we flee away, so it is Allah, He stands on that spot inviting us back. That is Hannan. That is, no matter how much wrong we may have had done, He invites us back, He calls us back. That is Hannan. In a hadith al-Qudsi says that if my servant knew that how happy I am when one of my slaves, one of my servants who was drowned in wrong, he turns away to me. If he knew, that is Allah, His kindness, His grace, and that joy which he would have, says I would die of that joy. Such great joy a person has. Now regarding this mahabbat, this love which Allah has towards His creation, says in this hadith al-Qudsi, Ya Dawood, O Dawood, Abligh Ahla Ardi, inform the inhabitants of the land of my earth, Inni Habibu Man Ahabbani, that is, I am the beloved of someone who loves me. Allah says, Wa Jaleesu Man Jalasani, and I am seated with someone who sits with me, who associates with me. وَمُلْمِسٌ لِمَنْ آنَسَ بِذِكْرِ, and I am a friend and a niece, a companion of someone who is a companion with me, who talks to me, who remembers me. That is compassion. That is association with Allah, being optimistic with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And in these nights that we have gathered here to mourn for Aba Abdullah, to embark on this ship of salvation of Aba Abdullah, we are guests of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the first step is that we know who this host of ours is, who Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is. And among the divine names that we see from Allah, it's all the beauty which is seen. The reason why we come to this majlis of Hussein, because he is the reflection of the beauty of Allah. So association with Aba Abdullah and Hussein is association with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah. Quran says that if your claim is that you love Allah, says fattabi'uni, be obedient to me, yuhibbukum Allah, Allah also will love you. So this love that he has from his side and the love we have from our side, it's that obedience that we have towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So, and in this dua Joshan Kabir, which was just mentioned, one of the segments reads as such that, Ya Ni'mal Hasib, which means that, O the best of reckoners, Ya Ni'mal Tabib, O the best of those who cures, Ya Ni'mal Raqib, Ni'ma means, O the best of those who is on the watch out. Ya Ni'mal Qareeb, O the best who is the nearest. There is no one nearer to us than Allah. Ya Ni'mal Mujib, Or the best of those who replies, who responds, Ya Ni'mal Habib, or the best of those who loves, Ya Ni'mal Kafil, Ya Ni'mal Wakil, Ya Ni'mal Mawla, Ya Ni'mal Nasir. So all these names that we have for Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, they just increase that hope that we have, that optimism that we have in Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. On the eve of Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has a request, says, Ya Allah, my request is that on the day of judgment, I want you to give the charge of my nation to myself. I want to judge them. Allah says that, and then he says that because the wrongdoers in my nation, I don't want them to be ashamed. For that reason, I want you to give me the charge. Allah says, I will judge your nation myself. I will not even give that charge to you so that you get ashamed. That is optimism in Allah, having hope in His grace and His mercy. Now, even if we look into the Ma'asumeen alayhim as-salam, although they are kind, but Allah is kinder. Although they have grace, Allah has a lot more grace. We find that many a times people, they used to come to Ma'asumeen and they used to mention the wrong that they had done. Sometimes we find that Ma'asumeen also, they were disturbed. Allah, He never gets disturbed, no matter how much wrong we have done. Confession in Islam is haram before anyone. Only before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala we are permitted, we are allowed to confess. Here says that in Quran, اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. Allah says that on the day of judgment, addressing us, He says, اقرأ كتابك, read your book. Whatever you have done, you bear a witness. كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. That is, you just tell me and I will accept. That is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and being optimistic with Allah. He says, you tell me and I will judge. So we have judged correctly. So we must admit before Allah all that we have done and we ask sincerely what we want. Now the reason why we do not get what we want is that we do not ask properly. We do not know how to ask. Or as they say, gar gida kahil buvad, that is, if the beggar does not know how to beg, then the person who wants to give, if he doesn't give, it's not his fault. We don't know how to approach. We don't know how to ask for our needs and our requirements, even from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That we have to train. And in these majalis, we learn how to present our needs to Allah. And it was mentioned yesterday that we have to have that bond with Ma'asumeen as such that even the table salt that we need, we ask from them. From that bond has to be there. And when we start from these elementary stages that everything that we want, we ask Him, then we get to higher levels of this spirituality, of morality, when we can get whatever we want. But we have to ask. This tongue of ours has to create that, activate that bond of remembrance between us and Allah. That friendship has to be activated so that we benefit from that friendship a lot more. So come to Him with optimism, with hope, and He also hears. Now kuffar say that we deserve the hell because they are pessimistic. In Mahajjatul Bayda, in a hadith, an Arab, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He comes and asks Rasulullah that on the day of judgment, who will take an account from us? In reply, Rasulullah says, it is the Creator, God, the Almighty. He will take the account from every individual. He gets that reply, he is happy and he goes. Someone meets him. Why are you so happy? He says that I was worried. I asked Rasulullah, who will take our account on the day of judgment? He replied, God. He says, because it is Allah, because it is God, and because He is Kareem, He will take a good account from us. And if this taking of account was given to someone from among the creation of Allah, then that means that we have to worry. So if that account is in Allah's hand, that is optimism. So we have to be so much optimistic in Allah. And as it was mentioned yesterday, that people will be judged on the day of judgment based upon the amount of optimism they had in Allah. And if they were very much optimistic, an easy account will be taken. And if they were pessimistic with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, a tough account will be taken from them. Here says, Ya ni'mal hasib, O the best of those who takes that account, hasib. Ya ni'mat tabib, the best of those who cure. Now someone who has sent 124,000 prophets for our guidance means that he cares for us, he loves us, he worries for us. He wants us to be on the right path, he wants us to find salvation, he wants us to be safe. For that reason he sent so many prophets. 124,000, it's not a small number. And all of that for our guidance, so that we know how to live in this world. Now in this grand creation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we find that many a times He lays traps to attract and to catch us. Now for example, this session, this majlis over here, it is laid by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to attract us, to catch us. Now God, He has needles, He has spears, He has waves, He has vibes, He has traps, all of that to attract us. Balas, tests, afflictions that pour down on us, we look at them negative, when the reality is that they are all positive. Or if you remember that saying that we have from Zainab al-Kubra alayha salam, when she was inquired and addressed by that mal'oon in his court, that how did you find what Allah has done to you, to your household, how He killed your brother, how He defamed you? In reply she says, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا, that is, whatever I saw was beautiful, was wonderful. So that is that height of optimism which she has in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That is that faith, belief she has in the oneness of Allah, in the beauty of Allah. And that is what we have to learn here. Now to sometimes Allah, He has spears. He pinches us. There are these needles, there are these problems, afflictions that pour down on us. Now all that is for our benefit. Now why do we have these problems? It's another detailed topic, and inshallah if we get time in these forthcoming nights, we will touch that. Now problems that pour down, for example, problems between the spouses, between family members, parents with children, children with parents. And nowadays we've got loads of problems just pouring down from every side. Now these problems, if we analyze them a little carefully, it's like these live updates we get on our computers. A little screen pops up and then there's a live update. Click on it and you'll get it. So these balas are also those updates we get from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He wants us to come to ourselves, to correct ourselves, so that remembrance of ours with Him is activated, something pours down on us. So we have to look into it positively. Most of the time the problems are created by us. If they are created by us, we have to rectify them. To rectify them, we need help. Help has to be sought from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Many a times, because it is easy access, He says that وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ, you seek the means of nearness to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, And our sixth Imam, when he was inquired that what are these wasail, what is this wasila, he says, Nahnu Allah. By God, we Ahlul Bayt are that wasila. We are the means to seek the nearness of Allah. Or when it was inquired by Ma'soom that Allah has good names, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. You call upon Allah through His good names. What are the good names? Imam in reply says, نَحْنُ we, وَاللَّهِ by God, الْأَسْمَاءِ الْحُسْنَى فِي الْقُرْآنِ are the good names of Allah in Quran. You want to get to Allah, get to Him through us, via us. So here says that sometimes Allah, to trap His creation, to trap His slaves, He sends friends, meetings, majalis, a mentor, a teacher, a majlis. Sometimes it's dreams, it's mukashifat. So all that is to catch, to guide, so that this person who was lost, he finds himself, he corrects himself. Sometimes he inspires people, sometimes he speaks to his creation. So God, he has these vibes. He communicates directly with the hearts of individuals. Sometimes we find that we've done wrong. No matter, we are not aware of all these azkar and recitals, but something appears on our tongue. We say, God forgive us. That is by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He inspires us to say that. All of a sudden we say that astaghfirullah. Since that zikr which came to our tongue was from Allah. We are not used to many of these recitals. All of a sudden we say that, we start uttering la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So all these du'as that we have, ayat of Quran that we have, suddenly we start saying them, that is from Allah. Because He wants to correct us. And that is because of that grace that He has towards His creation. And if we like, now how do we put all this in order? We've got so many prophets, all of them ma'soom. How come they were intact, they were always active? Says because they remained within that framework which Allah had set. So they were within the limits and bounds that Allah had created. So even if we remain within those limits that Allah has set, for us, we also will always be active. That remembrance that we have, that optimism that we have towards Allah, it will always be active. So there has to be a fine line that we draw between us and Allah. That is, all that He has said, do it. All that He said, don't do it, don't do it. And that is what we find even in Karbala. We see that Imam says, Taraktul khalqa turran lihawakya. That is, I abandoned everything. I left away everything only and only for Allah. That is, drawing that fine line between Him and His Lord. وَأَيْتَمْتُ الْعَيَانِ لِكَيْ أَرَاكَ. And the reason why I offered my children, the reason why I gave this sacrifice, so that I see God. That is being optimistic with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, having that grace with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. One of the great ulama that we have, it's Marhum Qazi, known as Marhum Karbalai. He used to recite Dua Kumail a lot. But when they came to this point which says that لَا يُمْكِنُ الْفِرَارُ مِنْ حُكُومَتِكْ, beyond that he could not recite this Dua Kumail. That is, لَا يُمْكِنُ الْفِرَارُ مِنْ حُكُومَتِكْ. But from this rule of yours, a person, he cannot flee. One cannot flee from this rule of yours. That is, we have to feel the existence of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. All this a lesson to me first. That is, the existence of Allah has to be felt. The rule of Allah has to be felt. His kingdom has to be felt. That is, we cannot run away. We cannot flee away from His rule. Says, لَا يُمْكِنُ الْفِرَارُ مِنْ حُكُومَتِكْ. So we cannot have any place wherein we can run away from His presence. Someone who is a true muwahhid, a true believer, whatsoever he sees Allah. Now if you look into the trees, you find these leaves moving. Even in that movement of those leaves, it's Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. La hawla wa la quwwata, that we say that there is no motion, there is no movement, but it is from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So everything is from Him. Says Ya Ni'mal Hasib, who is the best of those who takes that account. Those who became fond of others, that is the love of others, it is because they haven't seen the true love. The true love is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Inna Allah jameel wa yuhibbu kulla jamal. The true love is Allah. Ya ni'mal habib, O the best of those who can be loved. Ya ni'mal kafil, the recital of tawbah that we utter all of a sudden, that is from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, which He inspires us. When Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi, he finished his studies in Najaf, he wanted to return, comes to his ustad, marhum Qazi Tabatabai, and says that, I'm going back, and I want you to tell me and teach me something that I could remember you for the duration of my life. He says one sentence. Keep that in mind all the time. And what is that? Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. That is, indeed your Lord is on the watch out. Marhum Allama Tabatabai says that I had that ayah, that souvenir, that teaching of my ustad in my mind for the rest of my life. Whatsoever I wanted to do, I had that ayat in my mind that Allah is on the watch out. Someone who is that compassionate, he is on the watch out. Someone who has all that grace is on the watch out. So we have to have that optimism in Allah. The recital of salawats that we recite, that Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. This too is resembling the akhlaq, the character of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Why? Says Inna Allah, indeed Allah, wa malaikatahu, and His angels, yusalluna ala nabi, send the salutations upon the Prophet. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O those who believe, sallu alayhi, send salutations upon him, and with that salam. Says that this recital of salawat is also optimism in Allah. It's resembling Allah, because He sings as such, He sends salutations as such on His messenger. And when we recite these salawat on him and his household, we also are resembling Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And in that glorious hadith says the Prophet that on the day of judgment, that which is going to be the mightiest and the weightiest in the scale of balance, it's this salawat. That is, people when they will have their amal placed on their balance, and if that Jahannam is assigned to them because of the amal not being heavy enough, Rasulullah comes up with all these salawats that we recite upon him, which are deposited in a safe account before him. He returns them back to us, and because of these salawat, a person can find salvation. Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Araki, he says that whenever he was stuck, he couldn't find a way out. Says, just takes his tasbih out, recites 100 salawats, and finds whatever he has lost, whatever solution he wants. That is, that aqeedah a person has, resembling Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, by sending these salutations upon Rasulullah and his household, and that is being optimistic with Allah jalla wa ala. One of the other ayat that we have in Quran says that تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ 50,000 سَنَةٍ. That is, the angels, they ascend والروح and the spirit في يوم on a day and the duration of that day is 50,000 years. That is the day of judgment. Now why is it that the day of judgment is 50,000 years according to the ayat of Quran? From the day, inshallah, if we get time, we'll touch this topic as well. From the point when a person is resurrected from his grave, that is the day of judgment. From that spot until he enters the heaven, there are 50 stops. Each stop, the maximum duration is 1,000 years. Now what are these stops? The wrong that we have done in this dunya. Ill-treating, for example, spouses, wives, or wives ill-treating husbands. Or what we owe others. So there are 50 stops in the hereafter. Maximum duration of each stop is 1,000 years. 50 stops, 50,000 years. So the day of judgment is 50,000 years. But says that for mu'mineen it's different. The duration of time which they took to perform their wajib prayers, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it was, says for mu'mineen it's going to be that much. Now every wrong that we do in this dunya, it has to be paid back. In one of these books that I was just reading, says that some children in one of the graveyards, they were playing with a skull. They found a skull, they were playing with it. Someone passing from that graveyard, he took that skull, he told them off that you are disrespecting this head of whoever it is, we do not know. Takes the head and buries it in that graveyard. That night he has a dream. The person whose skull it was, he thanks him. Says that thank you for burying my head. And the reason for why these children were showing all this disrespect, playing with it, kicking with my skull, is because when I was alive, I was proud. As a result of that pride, that is what I saw. So the wrong we do in this dunya is paid back to us and is seen in all these different forms and formats in this dunya. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, says that a mu'min who was with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and who had a healthy account, a well-maintained account in this dunya, the duration of his day of judgment, it's going to be only that amount of time he used to spend to say his prayers. Now Allah, his name is Sari'ul Hisab, one of the names that we find in Dua Joshan Kabir. Sari' means fast. Hisab is account. So Allah is Sari'ul Hisab. He takes an account very fast. In a hadith says that if someone else apart from Allah was to take an account of us on the day of judgment for these 80, 60, 100 years that we lived in this dunya, says we need a minimum of 50,000 years for that person to take an account of us. But because it is that Allah says he is Sari'ul Hisab, quick, fast in taking an account. Now if there is a delay, delay is not from Allah, delay is from us. It's exactly like what we see in the airports today. They say that you have to have one, you can have one check bag, 50 pounds. If we have 60, 70 pounds of weight in that bag and we come to the airport, they say you have to remove all that stuff. So we will be detained at that check-in counter to remove all the stuff out. On the day of judgment, it's similar. Says detained, we will be detained because of our excess baggage. So for that excess wrong that we have in this dunya, we will be detained there, and those 50,000 years that have been mentioned in Quran is as such. Otherwise Allah, he is Sari'ul Hisab, he takes an account very quick, and he is that ni'mal hasib, ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla, ni'mal nasir, and all these beautiful names of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala which we find in this dua. Sometimes we find that, but now this is how Ma'sumeen have taught us how we approach Allah so that we increase that optimism in Him, says that Allahumma innaka anzalta fi kitabika annafu amman zalamana, says that Allah, you in your book have said that we should forgive someone who has done wrong, who has oppressed. وَقَدْ ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Now Imam says that God, we have done wrong. We have sinned. We have disobeyed you. Because you said forgive, we ask you to forgive us. That is being very logic and optimistic with Allah, the Barak wa Ta'ala. Then he says, وَأَمَرْتَنَا أَلَّا نَرُدَّ سَائِلًا عَنْ أَبْوَابِنَا. Then Imam says that God, you instructed us, you taught us, you commanded us that we should not oust away, we should not send away someone who has come to us from our doors, a beggar who has come to us. You said, don't send him away, help him out. And then Imam says, وَقَدْ جِئْتُكَ سَائِلًا, that we have come to you, O God, we beg. فَلَا تَرُدَّنِي, you also don't drive us away, don't send us away. إِلَّا بِقَضَاءِ حَاجَتِي, but that you fulfill our needs. And then Imam says that وَأَمَرْتَنَا بِالْإِحْسَانِ, that is, you instructed us that we have to do good. إِلَى مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُنَا, to those who are under us, to those who are in our authority, our children for example, or someone who is an employer and he's got people working under him, says that you have asked us that we be good towards them. Then Imam says, وَنَحْنُ أَرِقَّاءُكَ, that we are your slaves, O God. You free us, you be kind to us, you be gracious to us. That is how a person has to be optimistic in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and so on and so forth. We have loads of du'as from Ma'sumeen, and this concept of imamat, or this ni'mat, blessing of imamat that we have, it's great. They've taught us how to approach Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. They have taught us how to be optimistic. One of the other tips, inshallah, we'll talk on this a little bit more later on, and that is this faith that we have in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, in His oneness, in His justice, this faith that we have in this concept of nabuwwat, imamat, the day of judgment. It's one of those great blessings that are with us. For that we need to be thankful. And blessings, it's not guaranteed that they will be with us. They are with us today. They may be seized away from us tomorrow. Like the blessing of life, like the blessing of health, wealth, etc. Blessing of iman is also the same. Now how do we protect this iman? In Dua Adila, for example, we come towards the end of it. We say that, God, this is our faith, this is our aqidah. And we want to safe deposit this iman, faith and aqidah of ours before you. And we know that you are trustworthy. If something is deposited and kept safely with Allah, it is safe there. A majlis like this of Aba Abdullah and Hussein, it's one of those hot spots that we can come, sit, admit, and then confess before Allah, say to Him that, God, this is my aqeedah, I am safe keeping this with you, and on that day when I will be giving away my life, and all those shayateen who will be coming to switch me from my iman, I want you to give this iman of mine which was deposited with you in this majlis of Hussein, give it back to me, so that I die as a mu'min. So that is a tip, a simple tip that we have for tonight, and inshallah we'll talk on this also in the forthcoming nights. Sometimes our du'as, they are not accepted. The reason behind that is that we haven't known God well enough, as a result of which we do not get our du'as accepted. Now, not knowing God well enough, it's not being optimistic with Him. When we want something, we have to ask Him in a way that we want it granted. That is, gar gida gahil buwad taqseer sahib khane cheez, that we have to know how to beg, how to present our needs and requirements before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It's like these washing machines that we have, we come to a point that it starts draining and spinning so much, and then everything in that, it's squeezed out. So we have to present ourselves before Allah in that way, that everything which is in us is squeezed out. One of the du'as that we have is this istighasa. Istighasa means pleading, not just crying. Nudba means lamenting, although we don't do it that way as it should be. Or in this du'a ahad that we recite, the last phrase we say, alajal, alajal, and it is mustahab, so that you beat your lap saying that alajal, alajal, that is quick, quick, hasten, hasten, ya mawla, ya sa. This means that I'm pleading, I'm crying, I'm desperate. So that is how we have to present ourselves. Istighasa means that we have to cry. That is, the tear is squeezed out of our eyes, we present the wretchedness that we have before Allah, and if you don't get after that, then there's something wrong in us. That is, if we present ourselves before Allah in the most wretched way, we will definitely get it. And we can swear an oath on that. And that is something which is proven, which has been taught to us, a prescription which is given by Ma'asumeen for us. And they would never prescribe something which is not possible. Things that are possible are taught to us by Ma'asumeen alayhim salam. If we are kind to, if we have a kind relative, for example, and that relative invites us, and we come to his house, we knock the door, will he not open the door? Definitely he will open the door. We have someone who is Allah, who is the kindest, the most merciful, the most compassionate, and we have come to his door. Ilahi abduka bibabik aqamathu al-khasasatu bayna yadayk yaqra'u baba ihsanika bidu'a'ih. This is what Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, that Ilahi abduka bibabik, that your servant is at your door. Aqamathu al-khasasatu bayna yadayk yaqra'u baba ihsanika bidu'a'ih. Says that he has come to your door and now he's knocking with all the good that you have done. Give him, grant him, and he gives. So we, our beliefs and faith regarding Allah, it has to multiply, it has to increase, and this bond between us and Allah has to increase. So we have to know him first, who he is, what he possesses. Now if you look into Quran, for example, Prophet Yusuf, he becomes the ruler of Egypt. Jibreel sees that a young lad comes into the court of Yusuf. Now the story is as such, that Prophet, that Zulaikha, she seduces Yusuf. Yusuf, he runs away. The doors that were locked, they open before him and he comes out. After all, he is caught by Aziz and Misr. And then he says, okay, what happened? Zulaikha, she starts lying. And then Yusuf has to prove his innocence. How does he prove? There was a baby in that chamber, an infant. Quran says that baby gives that witness, that testimony in favor of Yusuf. قَالَ هِيَ رَاوَدَتْنِي عَنْ نَفْسِي وَشَهِدَ الشَّاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. That infant bears witness. What witness? Look at his shirt. If it's torn from behind, it means that Yusuf is innocent. If it's torn from the front, it means that Zulaikha is innocent. That ayah, those ayat says. Says that this young lad who was in the court of Yusuf, and Yusuf is the ruler of Misr, he smiles at Yusuf. Jibreel descends, says, do you know who this boy is? Yusuf says, I don't know. Says, this is that very infant who bore that witness for you in your favor to prove your innocence. Yusuf, he is so happy, he gives him so many gifts, so many riches, and he is extremely happy. And Jibreel, he's moved and touched at this scene, and says to Yusuf that this infant, he just had one witness in your favor, and you gave away all those riches and gifts to that boy. Says, do you know that how happy the Creator, the Lord of this universe gets when a person knocks at his door 5 times a day in prayers and bears witness for the greatness of Allah that cannot be matched, that cannot be perceived? That is that greatness of Allah, how we have to be so optimistic with Him, Jalla wa'ala. The 2nd of Muharram, Thursday, 61 after Hijrah, Abdullah al-Husayn, arrives at this land, inquires, "What is this place?" They say that it's Qadiriyya. Says, "Any other name?" He was said, "This is Nainawa." Then says, "Any other name?" Says, "Also known as Karbala." And when Imam hears the name Karbala, is reminded of what was told to him by his grandfather, is reminded of what was told to him by his father, Amir al-Mu'mineen, is reminded of all the teachings. That is, then he says that now we will have to set here. Says, "This is that land where we were all killed. This is that land where our women will be taken into captivity. This is that land where everything will just burn down and everything will perish." Here we find that Hur informs Ubaydullah la'natullah alayh of Imam's arrival. And on this day, Imam, he writes to the dignitaries in Kufa a note of his arrival, and this note is sent through Qais ibn Musahhar, a young lad in his late 20s, who is the messenger of Aba Abdullah, takes this letter to Kufa. He is captured, arrested, and they ask him what he has. He has a note from Aba Abdullah. And he does not want this pure note of Aba Abdullah to fall into this najis and impure hands of those mala'in. And when he finds that he is desperate and he is being arrested, he rips it, swallows that note so that they don't find out what exactly Imam has mentioned. They torture him, but he does not reveal anything. He is killed in the most brutal way. Message of his shahadat reaches Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. Imam, he cries. Riwayat, they say that he cried, as he cried on the day of Arafah, for such a long time, shaking. And towards the end of his crying, he has this dua. What is that? Allahumma, that God, to these Shias of ours, who are, what, make a station for them in the hi, Allahumma ja'al lana, make for us, wala shi'atina, indaka manzilan kareeman, before you a station which is high, which is exalted, like the station of the angels, wajma baynana, that God unite us and our Shias in the hereafter, fi mustaqarrin min rahmatik, in your mercy. This is the dua that Imam has. If you look into these munajat that we have, we talked about having all this hope and being optimistic in Allah. In one of the du'as that we have, that is du'as of Aba Abdullah and Hussein, and this is Imam has fallen down, is broken down. No one has remained. It is himself. In these munajat which Imam has, says that Allahumma anta muta'alil makan, praises, glorifies Allah, so much hope he has in him in these last moments, says that ad'uka muhtajan wa arghabu ilayka faqira wa afza'u ilayka khaifa wa abki ilayka makruba, that I cry for this desperateness. And then says, وَاسْتَعِينُ بِكَ ضَعِيفًا, that I seek your help whence I am so much weak. Says, despite all this weakness and the wretchedness of mine, says, وَأَتَوَكَّلُ عَلَيْكَ كَافِيًا, that is, I rely upon you a lot, O God. This is dua. Or for example, in this dua, Simat, which you may have had recited tonight, today, or the same thing is seen in Dua Arafat, we have this phrase which says that Allahumma inni as'aluka, that God, we ask you, bitilkal munajat, by those whispered prayers, kanat bainaka wa baina Musa ibn Imran, which were between you and Musa. Now it was as such that the whispered prayers between Allah and Musa, when Tawrat was being revealed, riwayat, they say that Hazrat Musa, he stood for 3 days. Tawrat in size is 3 times of Quran. So when these verses of Tawrat were being revealed to Prophet Musa, he stood for 3 days for these ayat of Allah to pour down onto his heart. For that reason it is said that bitilkal munajat, by those whispered prayers between you and Musa. But we have someone who is higher in rank and station. Who is that? Musa ibn Ja'far, the 7th Imam, Mazloom. Here Musa stood only for 3 days. And du'as, they say that by those whispered prayers that were between you and Musa ibn Imran, Musa ibn Ja'far was in the prisons of that Mal'un for 14 years. In the most wretched way, was killed in the most brutal way, with chains on him, such that we find these ziyarat that we have, say that, ziyarat, they say that, As-salamu ala al-mu'adhabi fi qahri sujoon. That is someone who was punished in those prisons. And then says, وَظُلَمْ الْمَتَامِيرِ وِالسَّاقِ الْمَرْسُوسِ. Mazdoos means when you've got a grain of rice and you haven't skinned it, it hasn't been polished, it's brown. When you start polishing that grain of rice, you start seeing the whiteness of that rice. Says, so many chains were on this Imam that his skin, it was crushed, it was broken, and his white bone was seen from the skin. So that is how, in a brutal way, that Imam was. So here we say that in those munajat, that ilahi bitilkal munajat, that were between you and Musa. But in fact, if we say by those munajat that were between you and Musa ibn Ja'far, that carries more weight, because he was in prisons for 14 years. For 14 years he had all those whispered prayers. In all these afflictions that we have, in every musibat that we have, we find that Zahra Mardiyah, she is also there. Among the masaib that unfolded on this household of Wahi are the masaib that we see on the two sons of Muslim ibn Aqil. The two sons, Ibrahim and Muhammad, who were in the prisons of that Mal'un ibn Ziyad la'natullahi alayhi for 1 year. In the most severe circumstances. No water was given, cold water was given to them, and very minimum food was given to them once a day. And this person who was in charge of these two honorable members of Ahlul Bayt comes to the prisons once a day. And by his coming at that time, they find out and calculate what the timings of prayers would be. Young boys, so much of importance they give to prayers. One day, they say that, let's speak to him. Maybe he accepts. They say that, do you know who Muhammad is? He says, yes. Then they say that, do you know who Ja'far is? He says, yes. Ja'far al-Tayyar, the feathered Ja'far, brother of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, yes. He says, do you know Aqil, Muslim? He says, yes. He says, we are the sons of Muslim. He says, I did not know that. Help. Help us. Show us the way to Medina. We'll go back to Medina. Or at least show us the way to where Hussein is, to our father. We'll go to him. When he finds out that these are the two sons of the members of Ahlul Bayt, he says, I never knew. He falls onto their feet, says that I'll free you, and I know that because of this freedom that will be granted to you, I will be killed. I don't care. I want you to promise. Says, what is that? Whatever it is, we will fulfill. He says, you are the household of Wahy. I want you to promise that on the day of judgment, you will be my Shafia. You will find me salvation. They say that we will not enter the heaven, but that you have entered before. He shows them the way out. They come, they find an old woman, and they ask for help. And when she finds out that these are the sons of Muslims, he says that I can help you. She was a mu'mina. Says, but I have a son-in-law, Haris. Once in a while he comes to my house, and if he comes to my house tonight, you will not be safe. They plead that, help us. She takes them to her house, nourishes them, respects them, feeds them. And that night that mal'oon comes. The mother-in-law, she says that, why are you late? He says, tonight there was this news, and that is the sons of Muslim, they have fled away from the prisons, and I have been said that whoever brings the heads of these two young lads will be prized and will be awarded with what and what not. Now the two boys are in the house of this lady. The younger one, he gets up, starts crying, says, I just had a dream, and I saw Rasulullah saying to my father that very soon your sons will come to you. The elder brother says, I had a similar dream. The two, they hugged each other, they start crying. The cry is heard by Haris. Haris, he comes, takes them, ties them, takes them, they start pleading. They say that, forgive us, take us to Ibn Ziyad, maybe he has some other solution. If not, just send us back to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and they were not aware that Imam has passed away. And then says that you take him to our, take us to our uncle, and he will reward you whatsoever you want. He doesn't listen. He brings them, the two sons, by the river, and there he instructs his slave to behead them. Now this slave who comes forward to behead, the elder brother says that, do you know Bilal? I see you are from Africa. Do you know Bilal, the Muazzin of Rasulullah? He says, yes. He says, do you know Ja'far? Do you know Muslim? When he starts inquiring him and he gets the answer that they are the sons of Muslim, that slave, he dives into that river and runs away. Haris calls his son to come and do the job. The mother from the other side says that, should you do that, should you pollute yourself with this sin, I will never forgive you. Haris beheads them and he throws them into the river, and the heads were brought to Ibn Ziyad, but he did not get what he should have got. Among the things that we find on this day of judgment, on this day of Ashura, which hurts a lot, is this thirst. Thirst of Aba Abdullah, thirst of the household of Aba Abdullah. And one of the phrases that we read in the Maqatil, it says that يحول العطش بينه وبين السماء كالدخان. That is, the thirst was such that Aba Abdullah, who was so much dehydrated, that when he looked into the sky, he saw just smoke and nothing else. Maqatil, they say that Aba Abdullah, who was wearing this armor, from over the armor he bled. That is the amount of wounds, the spears, the arrows that had landed on him, and says that tens of wounds were seen on his shirt when it was found. أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٌ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِلَهِي بِحَقِّ الزَّهْرَى وَأَبِيهَا وَبَعْلِهَا وَبَنِيهَا والسر المستودع فيها يا الله يا الله يا الله Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمن وجب له حق علينا ولمن وصانا بالدعاء ولجميع أمة محمد وآل محمد. إلهي, all those who have departed, elevate their ranks. All those who are in and ailing, specially present in this majlis, Allah grant them shifa. All those who have hopes in these majalis, all those who have requested for du'as, whatsoever their hajat be, whatsoever their desires be, whatsoever their du'as be, Ya Allah, by the tears that were shed for Abu Abdullah, fulfill, grant whatsoever they want. Our children to be enlisted among the best of children, Muslims who ever existed. Ya Allah, hasten in the return of the Imam of Time. Count us among his true servants and supporters. Muslims worldwide, Shias in particular, Allah protect them. Enemies of Islam, the arrogant, the mustakbirin, Allah defame them. Clean the surface of this earth by their presence. Wajjal fi faraj maulana sahib al-zaman Matami Hussain.
Ya Hussein, 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 Ya Hussein,